Welcome to Jumpstart Nation, jumpstarting our day, speaking the Word of God. Good morning, everybody. Good day to you. Praise God. This is Wednesday. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, everyone. So good to see everybody. Praise God. God is good all the time. We're going to speak the Word of God. Mark chapter 11. This is the granddaddy passage. This is the granddaddy passage on faith. What faith is, how faith works. Mark 11, verse 22. Truly I say to you, 22, and Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. And actually the Greek is have the faith of God or have God's faith. Okay? Praise. So good morning, everybody, as you're jumping on. Have God's faith. Have the God kind of faith. Have God's faith. So God has so designed you as a human being, so much like Him. He made you in His image and His likeness. That's Genesis 1, 28. 26 through 28, He made you as a human being so much like Himself that you're able to operate in His faith, His kind of faith, the same faith that He used to create the universe. All right, so Jesus says, have the faith of God. I'm explaining why we're doing Jumpstart. Why do I have you repeat things? How come I'm having you speak this and speak that? And some of you don't. Some of you just listen and you don't speak, and you're missing out the opportunity to be who God made you to be. So have the faith of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Notice it wasn't created just, it didn't just say by God. It was created by God, but this verse is emphasizing how God did it. It was created by the Word of God. Hey, Dalton, good to see you, brother. It was created by, hey, Bonnie, hey, Elaine, hey, everybody. Good to see all of you. Make sure you share this. Again, let me go back. Hebrews 11, 3, for those of you that are taking notes, says that the universe, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. That means God spoke it. God spoke it. He spoke the universe into existence. He spoke all the stars, all the galaxies, all the Milky Way, all the planets, all of that, the sun, the moon, the earth. It was all created by the Word of God. That's how God did it. But notice this, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. What is seen, the creation, this physical creation, was not made out of things that are visible. What does that mean? Well, the words are invisible. The words that God spoke are invisible. The words that you speak are invisible, but those invisible words that God spoke was the substance that created the seen universe. What does that mean? That means that the unseen creates and rules over and controls the seen. Wow. Think about that. And how are they controlled? Words. Words were spoken. Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light. Light was. Let there be the sun. The sun was. Let there be a moon. The moon was. Let there be water. The water was. Let there be fish. God, fish came out of an invisible substance called the Word of God. Amen? Now, then here is Jesus, God in the flesh, telling us that we can operate the same way. That's amazing, okay? We can operate the same way. I know I hit the ground running. Sorry about that. No, I'm not. I agree with you. Hey, Ron. Hey, Allison. Excuse me. So Janice says, I cannot wait to see all the things that God creates that I've been believing all of my years. It's going to be awesome. That's right. You've been speaking it. You've been speaking it. Amen. Not just believing it, Jana, but speaking it, right? And so Jesus said, he said, have the faith of God. Now, the King James, the New King James, and this is the English Standard Version, have faith in God. That's not the Greek. The Greek literally says, have the faith of God. Have God's faith. Operate in God's faith. How? Do faith the way God does it. That's amazing. We are made in such a way and made in such the image and likeness of God that we can see God do something and say, hey, I want to do that. And God says, let's do it. So now Jesus tells you then in verse 23 and 24 how to operate in the faith of God in your life. Here's what he says. Truly, this is Jesus speaking. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, not just think it, not just think it, not just believe it, but says it. Faith has a voice that must be spoken. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, all right, your heart and your mouth need to be in agreement, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Now, I would encourage you to take this scripture and meditate on it. Write it down on a 3x5 card. Write it down on your refrigerator, your chalkboard in your kitchen. Write it down. Look at it and ask the Lord to make it real to you. Meditate on it. Whosoever shall say, whosoever is you or a whoever, you are a whoever. Say this out loud. I am a whoever. So he says, whosoever shall say, for example, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says, you believe what you say comes to pass, you'll have whatever you say. You got to come to the point where you believe that what you say comes to pass. And the Holy Spirit will give you that. He'll give you that confidence as you meditate on this. So here, that's why we're doing Jumpstart, because we believe that Jesus told the truth, that when we say a thing and believe it in our heart, it changes the circumstance. It moves the mountain. Your words can move the mountains that God's words created. I've never said that before in 61 years. Your words can move the same mountains that God's words created. Wow. Jesus gave you the authority to move the very mountain that God created with his words. He's saying you can use your words to move it and to cast it into the sea and get rid of it. I don't know if you thought about this or not, but God spoke that mountain into existence. He said the universe was created by the word of God. And Jesus gives you authority here to, in one sense of the word, alter what he created, to undo it in a sense, because you're casting it into the sea. So he's saying you can have the faith of God and use God's level of faith out of your mouth and move the mountain that God's faith put there. So God used faith to create the universe. He believed it and he spoke it. It's called the faith of God. God used his faith to create the universe. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are made of things that are invisible. Praise God. So your words, even though you cannot see them, when you're speaking them from a heart of confidence, because you know it's the word of God, it will alter visible situations. Amen. Praise God. And then in verse 11:24, he tells you, verse 23, he tells you to speak. It's spoken faith, faith that you speak. Verse 24 tells you how to use faith in prayer, how to pray it. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe that you have received it. When do you believe that you have received it? when you pray, the minute you pray, you believe you have received it. You get up from that place of prayer saying, it's mine. I have it. I've got it. It's mine. It's mine. I have it. Praise God. And then it will be yours. It may show up in a minute, may show up in a second, may show up in an hour, may take a day, may take a month, a year. I don't know. I don't know how long. All right. There's some things that you can do to speed it up. There's things that'll slow it down. But praise God, you believe you receive it, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, something he said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, this word ask is the Greek word aiteo, A-I-T-E-O, aiteo. It's used in other places, translated desire. Whatsoever you desire, whatsoever you desire, praise God. Right? Whatever you desire in prayer, believe that you have received it. You see, as you're praying, God will begin to put work desires. He'll begin to place desires in you. Desires, I mean, for good things. As you're reading the word, studying the word, on Jumpstart, hearing what belongs to you, you're going to get excited about, well, the possibilities of, you mean God wants me to have that? God wants me to have that? Yeah. God wants Jesus paid for that? Yes. That belongs to me? Yes. And desire will begin to come into you. All right? And he says, whatever you desire in prayer, believe that you have received it, because Jesus already got it for you, and it will be yours. Praise God. You can leave that moment and say, it's mine. It's just a matter of time now, but shows up. I have it. It's mine. I've got it. Praise God. Man, that's a tremendous place to be. Now, other people around you that are walking by their five senses, they may think you're nuts. They might think you've lost your mind. But you haven't lost your mind. You've picked up the mind of Christ, and you say, that's mine. Nothing has changed in the natural, but that's mine. I have it. Praise God. That's good news. All right, so that's why we're doing Jumpstart. That's why we're speaking the word, because we're speaking to mountains. We're declaring the truth. We're operating in the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. Now, we have been focusing. Good morning, Scott. Good to see you, brother. Good morning, Sharon. Praise God. Yes, it does have power. Good morning, Shelley from Norman, Oklahoma. Amen, Sue. I needed that too. Thank you for your feedback. Praise God. Joel, thank you for posting the scriptures. And praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, right, Elaine. Not just see it, but say it. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Praise God. Amen. Now, so we got to be speaking. Now, you know, remember a year and a half ago, we went 30 sessions about don't pray about it, talk to it. And too many times we're asking God to do things when he's telling you to speak it, to declare it. The other translation, the other word there where it says, whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, aiteo also is translated demand. Whatsoever things you demand in prayer, believe that you have received it. You're not demanding it from God. God already gave you everything when he gave you Jesus. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, was raised from the dead, and ascended to the right hand of God as you, everything that God had, he bequeathed it to you. So now, the Mark 11:24 is not so much about asking God for something. That's not what it is. It is you demanding it in Jesus' name. You're putting a demand on the inheritance. You're putting a demand on what belongs to you. You're also reminding the devil, it's mine. So whatsoever things you demand, command in prayer, believe that you have already received it. The minute you commanded it to come, the minute you commanded it to be, God said, light be. You can say, health be. Health be. Praise God. And he said, as you believe that you've received it, you will have it in the natural. Amen. Now, that is all flowing. Praise God. This, Nancy, I agree with you. This is so important for people who have children, grandchildren, and family members we have been given authority over, who are being led into worldly health and issues of all kinds. We must keep renewing our minds and keep giving thanksgiving to the truth regardless of how it looks. We can remain peaceful in all storms as we operate in the God kind of faith. Absolutely, Nancy. Absolutely. This doesn't mean you won't have trouble. You won't have challenges. Jesus had challenges. He was about to be drowned in a boat. He had a madman of Gadara that was probably tried to kill him if Jesus would have allowed it, right? They tried to throw him off the edge of a cliff. Jesus had difficulties, all right? He had problems, praise God. But he overcame them. He mastered them by faith. He operated in a higher kingdom. Hallelujah. And God wants you and I to operate in a higher kingdom. Now, let's talk about this Ephesians prayer again. Amen. I know Nancy's preaching. She got it going on, man. She is operating, and all of us are, in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good, so good, so good. All right. Now, let's go back to the Ephesians 1 prayer. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, it was fellowship today as I was just hanging around this and thinking about it and said, okay, Lord, we're ready to move on. You know, I'm so excited about the phrase, having the eyes of your understanding enlightened. He said, you're not ready to go there yet. I said, man, come on, Lord. He said, you're not ready to go there yet. Don't rush. He said, you're not done with the phrase of him. Now, yesterday we talked about that God would grant to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I said, of him could be a possessive sense, God's knowledge, that we might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in God's knowledge, what God knows about the situation. All right. That's true. But that's a subjective of a subjective. God's the subject who knows, and he's sharing his knowledge with us. But God said to me, that's both a subjective and an objective of. It goes both directions. In fancy terms, it's a plenary objective. Okay? You know, English was not my subject, but since I was filled with the Holy Spirit, man, the Spirit of God has helped me so much. I wouldn't have known this stuff. I couldn't have cared less. But there is what is called a subjective of. The subject is God, and God's giving us his knowledge. There's an objective of. We know about God as an object. Then of God can be plenary. It's both subjective, what God knows, he's showing us, and objective, and we're knowing him. What God knows about himself, he's showing us. So here's what the Lord said. He said, the most important knowledge you can have is the knowledge of me. The knowledge of me. All right? Now, the Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3. All right? We're going to focus on this part of the prayer, the knowledge, epinosis, higher knowledge of him. All right? So here it is. We're going to jumpstart this. This is so good. Ephesians chapter Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And I wish I had it in the Amplified. I don't think I do have the Amplified. Maybe so. Let me check here and see. I might have it. Praise God, I do have it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. This is awesome. All right, let's go here to Philippians. I want you to see this. Philippians 3, 10. Amplified Classic. Now watch this. Paul, the apostle, writing to the Philippians, his partners, he said, that I may actually, this is verse 10, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. That's all in that phrase, that I may know him. Because there's different different words translated know. All right? There's different Greek words for know. This particular Greek word is ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. It it's best translated experience. When Adam knew his wife Eve, he experienced her. Yada in the Hebrew is gnosko in the Greek. Now he says that I may experience him. He said, this is my determined purpose, that I may experience him. Wow, that's different. See, that's different than knowing. That's different than preaching about him. That's different than knowing a bunch of verses about him. That's different than just a mental knowledge about him. This is an experience that happens in you. You experience, you know him. Now watch this. For my determined purpose is, we're going to jumpstart this, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. This is what the Ephesians 1 prayer is about. Now, that we may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, epinosis, the knowledge of him, becoming acquainted with him, with God. You know, when you become acquainted with God, you're not going to say stupid things like, well, if you voted for the wrong person, boy, God's going to banish you to hell. And there's preachers preaching that right now. Or if somebody winds up with cancer or sickness, well, you know, God's just trying to test you to see what's wrong with you, you know, trying to test you out. When you come to know God, my Father doesn't put stuff like that on people. My Father doesn't banish people to hell because of how they voted. My place in heaven is safe and sound. There is no amount of sin that I can commit that cancels my seat in heaven. There's no amount of sin that I can commit that cancels your seat in heaven. Now, because Jesus took care of it and you accepted that sacrifice. Now, sin has consequences, right? Come on, Jumpstart Nation, you all know this. Sin has consequences, but it on earth, and it can make your life horrible. I mean, if you cheat on your husband or cheat on your wife, you know God still loves you. You're still forgiven. You still have a place in heaven. God loves you. But that person you cheated on will possibly divorce you and never love you for the rest of their life. You know, you can say, well, God loves me and God will make them fall in love with me again. No, he won't. No, he won't. He's not going to override their will. You see, we can do things and make decisions financially, in our marriage, in our relationships, where we damage ourselves, but it wasn't God, all right? And I know him that way. I know he's not the one causing any pain in my life. I know that about God. I've come to know that much about him. It's like one preacher said recently at a funeral, a brother who just struggled with drugs all of his life. He never could get his mind renewed to the point he could see himself free from the drugs. He never could get that right, and he died from drugs. A believer believed in Jesus, struggled with drugs, he died, and the preacher, the bishop, got up and said, oh, that's a shame. He said that demon, that drug, drugged this boy right to hell. No, he didn't. That demon and that drug didn't drag him to hell. Him being addicted or not addicted didn't affect his salvation. It affected the quality of his life on earth. It affected, you know, what he was to accomplish. But he had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And I'm not justifying sin. I'm not saying sin's okay. I'm not saying that God is okay with you sinning. But the reason he's not okay with it is because he doesn't want you destroying yourself and others around you. Your sin could cause somebody else to reject Jesus and never accept him because you call yourself a Christian, but you're just in all this sin, and it could blind them to the truth and send them to hell. So there's consequences. But no, that brother died with this problem, and he went home to be with Jesus. Amen. I know that about God. I know that by revelation. But here's the point, and then we're going to jumpstart this. The letter to the Philippians was written when Paul was older. I mean, he was near the end of his ministry. He was just a few years away from the end of his ministry. He had already had a vision of Jesus. He'd had multiple visions. He'd been called to the third heaven and heard things that were unspeakable. He had gotten visions from the throne of God and came back and shared that. He had traveled the world and turned the world upside down or right side up with the gospel. And yet near the end of his ministry, he said, here's my purpose. This is an older man. This is an older apostle. He said, my determined purpose is that I may know him. I'm telling you, this prayer for the Ephesians 1 prayer matters. It matters because when you know him as he really is, it causes you to know yourself as you really are in his eyes. It changes everything. Praise God. Says, and then he says, and that I may in that same way progressively come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. That resurrection power that God raised Jesus from the dead is exerted over you. It's still flowing out, the outflowing. It's the outflowing of the power. It's the outflowing of his power. And he said that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed into his likeness, even to his death. He said, I want the sufferings of Christ that he suffered to become such a part of my mind that I understand what he did for me, how he suffered for me. Praise God. And that I share and participate so much in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that I die to my own plan and I mentally become resurrected to who he really made me to be. Man, this is powerful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's say this out loud. Let's confess this. Let's speak this. Say this out loud. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. My determined purpose is, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that I may so participate in his sufferings as to be continually transformed to the likeness of his death. In other words, the revelation of his stripes, you die to sickness and disease. The revelation of his burial, his death and burial, you die to the old you. You're dead to that past. You're not letting that past rule you anymore. You died to it. You suffered. You died. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've been buried with Christ into God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. That's good. So this is why we're praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at another verse. 1 John chapter, good night. Good night. I started 5 minutes late, so it's cost me. But man, it's already 9:36. Praise God. I'd like to go on. Yep, you are putting on the new man, Jana. You absolutely are. And, you know, one of the things is begin to confess Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified Classic. My determined purpose is that I may know him. And so let's pray it. You're ready to pray the Ephesians 1 prayer? Let's get after it. Pray it out loud. I pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Father, I'm asking you to grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that we may know Him intimately and know the wonders of His person. Because when I know Him, Father, I know me. Flood the eyes of our heart with light in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Man, I thought I'd get further down the road. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's His love for us and in us that brings us to the knowledge of Christ. I'm telling you, the revelation, there is power in knowing, Elaine. That is so true. Knowing intimately. It's experiencing God. God doesn't want you just to know about Him. He wants you to know Him, to experience Him, to know the wonders of His person. Because really, when you get to know the wonders of who Jesus is, that's who you are. He was raised from the dead as a man. He was raised and glorified as a man. He ascended as a man. He was enthroned as a man. When Jesus went to the cross, He went there as humanity. When Jesus was crucified, humanity was crucified. When Jesus was whipped with the stripes, humanity, the fallen humanity in Adam, was whipped. When Jesus was buried, that cursed humanity in Adam, in the mind of God, was buried. Died, humanity died. When Jesus rose from the dead, He rose from the dead as humanity, as a human being. When He ascended as a human being. When He was seated and enthroned at the highest place of authority at the right hand of God, that was us. So when you see Him, when you see Jesus, when the Holy Spirit began, man, I wish I could have gotten to these verses. Oh, it was so rich this morning. But I feel like I'm robbing you because of what I saw. I'm not able to share because of time, but that's okay. That's okay. We got time, you know. I'm telling you, man, I saw some things today by the Spirit in the Word. You are absolutely awesome in the eyes of God. You in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make sure you share this, and I believe you're going to increase in your experience of God, your experience of His wonders, of His glory. You're going to begin to see Him, and in seeing Him, you're going to see yourself. Love you guys. Make sure you share this. Have an awesome rest of the day, and we will see you tomorrow morning.